Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that you are walking with the Lord, and we do so by His grace. We walk with the Lord by reading what He has said in His Word, and then obeying that which we know that He has said. And don't be so foolish as to say, well, I'm going to accept the words of Jesus, and that will be my guide. No, you start with Genesis in the beginning, and go to the Revelation 22:21, Amen, and then you will have the Word of God, and you can walk with that. Every word of God is God-breathed, and you are to accept it. Don't be deceived by those who say they will follow just the New Testament. And then there I've heard this cultic slant that there are those who say they go only by the red writing that's in the Bible. Well, no, that is not what you do. Then there are others who say they go only by the quotations that were made by the Lord. Please don't be deceived by that. Your heart, my heart, is a deceitful thing. Now you say, preacher, you're judging me. You don't know a thing about me. Well, I know what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's desperately sick. And the Lord says, who can know it? So you are born of Adam, and so you are crooked. We have a bent towards being crooked. We are not born good. We are all sinners. And it's grieved my heart to hear people who have gotten along in years to make the statement that they are not sinners. Now, they're comparing themselves with themselves. They've set up a standard, and they say, I've never violated my standard. But your standard is not what matters. It's what God says about you. Have you pleased the Lord? See, have you accepted God's Son? Are you better than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? Did you serve God more faithfully than Christ did? If you did not, if you have to say no to any point of that, that's a proof that you're a sinner. But that's not the only proof. See, you received and inherited a sinful nature. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you've got to ask the Lord to forgive you for being a sinner, not for doing sin. You did sin because you had a sinful heart. But you ask the Lord to forgive you for being a sinner. He'll forgive you. You have to agree with God, and that's an act of faith, that God's word is true and that God is true, and let God be true and every man a liar. If you disagree with God, you're calling God a liar, and that's a very serious charge on your part before a holy God. To disagree with Him and to say that you are not a sinner, you're in big trouble, friend. You need to repent of that attitude, forsake your sin, receive Christ, agree with God, what He said about you, about yourself, your sin, your record, your relationship to God, that your heart is far from God, filled with sin, deceitfully wicked, desperately sick, and in need of being born again. You have a heart of stone. You're steeped in pride. That's what God says about the man who is without Christ. And the person say, but I've never broken any law. I've never been to jail. Well, that's, you see, that doesn't prove anything that you've never been to jail. That proves you haven't gotten caught for your sins. If all of your thoughts could be displayed and every response that you've ever had been followed out to the end, then there would be a lot of changes brought about. There'd be a lot of things said about you and me. And indeed, that's what the Lord sees. He knows the state of your heart. It's filled with pride, and you want to boast in your good works. That's another evidence of pride. The sin of pride is ruling in your life. You need to repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will save you. You'll be born anew, a new creation. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask for Thy blessings upon us today. We thank Thee for Thy mercies. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy forgiveness of sins. Hear, O Lord, from heaven and help us. Bless us, I pray, and we'll be careful to give Thee the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let's continue today in the book of Exodus, and we were looking in Exodus chapter 36, seeing how that the work on the tabernacle was started by Aholiab and Bezaleel. These were, and they also had others, wise-hearted men who would stand with them and who were called by the Lord to serve the Lord God in the construction and receiving the offering of that which would be going into the tabernacle. And the Lord has to, the gifts come in so abundantly in verses 5 through 7 that the Lord has to stop, to have to hold the people back from giving. They were giving so generously. And we pointed out that the time to give is when the need is known. And those who delayed in their giving were not allowed to have a part in seeing the material for the work go forth. I'm sure they were saying, you know, I wanted to give. I was planning to give, but they delayed. Or they were saying, look at that. I could have had a part in the work of God, but they were slow in their giving. So it came in so abundantly. And then the material that was given, there were boards and the matter of linen and goat's hair and all of the various things were given. There was the boards, the partition, the veil, and the hangings for the door, and metals were given and wood was given. All of these things were given for the Lord's work. And the Lord indeed provided wisdom for these who are going to construct the material. Then we come to chapter 37, and there Bezaleel and his workmen are busy still making the parts for the tabernacle, the ark, the mercy seat. That's what we will look at today. The furniture of the tabernacle, this tent that was being built. See, that speaks of the fact that the Christian, we have not here a dwelling place. This tabernacle was something to be constructed upon, according to God's pattern and standards, and in the place where the Lord said it would be or should be, and they were to be led by the Lord in all of their doings concerning this tabernacle. And that's exactly the way the local church is to be done, to be built according to God's plan, to be according to the Word of God. That's God's pattern. He has set it so, and it to be done by His way, and it should be built where He says it's to be built, the local church, of course. And then we see in verses 1, 2, and 3, all the way down to verse 9, that Bezaleel makes the art of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. And Bezaleel overlays this with pure gold inside and outside. He also makes a crown for this ark. It has a border around it, and this is, again, inside and out with gold round about it. And he cast it for 4 rings of gold. They were set on the corners, and they were to be used for transporting this. Then the staves for carrying this. These were overlaid with gold. They were made of acacia wood, a very hard wood. In fact, the wood was so hard that insects could not bore into it. A very hard wood that the Lord used for making the tabernacle. And speaking of the wood as opposed to the gold, that speaks of Christ. Wood speaks of humanity. Gold speaks of divinity. And the gold, the divinity, Christ was God, was the God-man, very God, very man. Now, this was speaking of a type of Him. And this also, the staves for carrying, this was the Lord's way of carrying this. And He made the mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits was the length thereof. Again, gold is brought in, and the length thereof, 1.5 cubits, the breadth thereof, and made 2 cherubim of gold, beaten one out of one piece. Now that, of course, would require great skill. These cherubim set on the mercy seat, facing one another. Now, again, we talk about the imagination, the Lord giving to the eye of Bezaleel and Aholiab and those who had given themselves to his service, that they had from their mind that which was to represent these beings, these creatures, these angelic creatures, that they knew how to construct them, how to design them. You know, it's one thing to look at a person and to paint them, paint a picture of them. It's another thing to do a work like these were doing and having never seen it. Their hands were guided by the Lord. He had given them the skill to design these cherubim. They made two cherubim of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them on the ends of the mercy seat, as to guard this holy place. Speaking of the holiness and this approach to God, one place, then these were to be facing each other, looking on this. One cherub on the end on this side, and another cherub on the other end on that side. Out of the mercy seat made he the cherubim on the two ends thereof, and the cherubim spread out their wings on high, and covered with their wings over the mercy seat, their wings over the mercy seat, with their faces one to another, as even unto facing each cherubim. And he made the table of this acacia wood. 2 cubits was the length of it. Again, all of this is by God's design. To speak of the Lord's, the approach to him, and the figure, the body of a breast of a man and two extended wings, measuring from 2 to 3 feet from tip to tip, with the hammer out of a solid piece of gold. Now, again, who can do this on his own? The Lord gave to them what he wanted them to do, how he wanted them to construct these beings. See, you can't see into the spirit world. If you did, could you command the angel to stand still while you drew a picture of him? Now, we have this picture of what angels look like, and or we have what people think they look like. But again, in looking in the scriptures, these angelic beings would appear and speak to men, give them counsel or comfort, and they did not even know many times who they were. For example, the Apostle Paul, when he was traveling to Rome, he said, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." He was telling them, you know, nobody else saw that. Paul was able to say definitely it was the angel of the Lord that stood by him in this storm and instructed him in this storm. So he had seen one, but he did not make much of it. He didn't boast about having seen an angel. He just used that to verify that he was God's servant and his counsel was dependable. And so Bezaleel and Aholiab are to construct these beings on the mercy seat because God gave them the wisdom to do so. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art God, that thou art great and mighty, and thou hast called us to serve thee. We ask thee to help us to believe thy word and to abide by it for Jesus' sake. Amen.